Atma Namaste, everyone. Welcome to the Pranic Healing Podcast. On this episode, we are going to talk about living an authentic life, insights and inspirations from Josue Marbach. So Josue is a pranic healer and arhatic yoga practitioner who owns his own mobile business that offers convenient at-home vehicle services. He's passionate about personal development and aspires to share his insights and teachings with people around the world. Please welcome Josue.
Hi.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Josue, for being on today. It's kind of so interesting how we got connected, right? I think I posted a more of a video personal diary vlog entry, and you gave me such an insightful comment that kind of inspired this podcast. So I'm really excited because living authentically, right, with awareness is something that not only I've been trying to do, but I feel like so many people are trying to do. And I think in the title of my video, I was like, oh, I'm turning 30, but I'm still feeling lost. What's going on? I should have everything figured out now. And yeah, you just shared some amazing things with me. And I really want to take the opportunity for the audience in the podcast to kind of understand your story, and maybe those insights can help them. Oh, so wait, just for all of us that kind of, you know, are learning more about you, can you basically describe simply, you know, how you got into pranic healing, but also the story before pranic healing, before you knew about, you know, energy and consciousness, spirituality and awareness, and how that basically eventually led you to finding, you know, the path on pranic healing?
Yeah, so absolutely. About 4 years ago, I was working in the field of automotive repair. I was working at a dealership, a Land Rover Jaguar dealership, to be specific. Yeah, and I was doing my, I've always been doing my work on the side, like helping people out, neighbors, family. So that has always been my dream from a very early age. Like around 14, I decided I want to, you know, create my own business, you know, create a shop. At the time I was watching West Coast Customs, Pimp My Ride on MTV. And I just thought it was cool to see how a group of people can get together with all different, you know, specialties, you know, and come together and do like amazing work like that. So it's something I always like aspired to do. And so I'm in the field for about like 15 plus years, doing, you know, working for someone, a dealership or a shop, working for myself or doing some stuff on the side and entrepreneurial things. It's just, I guess there was a part of me throughout my life that was never or didn't get to the point where I can go full out on my own. There was still some of that kind of sense of security or fear that I was trying to break. But I noticed over the years, as I got older, the more and more I suppressed that idea of venturing out on my own, the more and more it kept coming up inside, and it would cause me anxiety. Like I'm not living out my purpose. I'm not doing what I really want to do. And it was just that layered on top so like so often that it got to the point where it was really screaming at me. And so I had a great job. I was earning well over six figures. That's not as common for an automotive technician to earn, you know, high amounts like that in a regular shop setting. But I had to make a decision because, for one, yeah, I wasn't doing what I really wanted to do. I mean, I was, cause I loved the brand cars I was working on. And, but I wasn't really living out my dream, my purpose. And, so I made the decision that I would leave. And so I left and I had just bought a house that year too. So it was, it's huge. And I have three kids, a wife, and so it was a really tough decision, but I knew something had to change because it was eating me up inside, and I didn't know what that was. I mean, there were days I was stressed out with like anxiety. I had to like go to sleep with a weighted blanket just so I can sleep comfortably. And at the time, I had signed up with the state to get prescribed medical cannabis, and I was coping with my anxieties that way, because it was eating me up throughout the day. And then I'd come home and I'd find myself that stuff overflowing out of me. And I didn't like how I was around my family, and I couldn't control it. It was like, I'd come home they'd be all happy to see me. And then I'd just say a few words and I'd just ruin the, you know, the vibe of the household, because I'm in my mess and that mess is just like overflowing out. So at the time I didn't realize what was going on, but I remember Googling, is this burnout? Am I experiencing burnout? Cause I was working a lot. I was working a lot. And I think I was just trying to keep myself occupied and busy so that I wasn't, you know, thinking about, hey, I'm not doing the things I need to do to venture out on my own, like full time. And that's where my heart was at. But anyway, so I left that dealership. And shortly after that, I found myself at this point. I guess it was the point where a lot of things started shifting for me. And that was where I was completely dissatisfied with my results that I was getting, dissatisfied with myself. I just hit like this point where I know I can do better, but I'm not doing better and I don't know how to do better. And I just cried out to the universe to help me, please guide me or show me what I need to do, because I don't like to, I don't want to be like this anymore. And the very next day, a Tony Robbins event appeared on my newsfeed, and I was like, okay, I know Tony Robbins, and it was a free event. It was just right around COVID. So they were transitioning from doing in-person events to going online, because they couldn't host events at that time because of, you know, people in large places. And the timing for that was very interesting, but I signed up for the free event. I dabbled through it because I was just really busy with what I was doing at the time, but I still like watched the re-recordings and it's like, this is really good stuff. And it was helping me understand things I didn't understand. And the opportunity came up to sign up for a paid event. It was Unleash the Power Within, the first virtual event. And that's that interests me a lot. And I asked the wife, I almost didn't do it. You know, I was at the time, I think I had to always ask her for, because I didn't trust myself, or I don't know, I just needed that second.
I'd always ask the wife, right?
It's like, hey, this is a good decision or whatnot. But she said, if I felt that, you know, it was like I wanted to do it, I should go do it. And I'm thankful that, you know, she said that, and thankful I didn't get in my head and say, I'm not going to do this. You know, it's $450. I never spent that kind of money on myself before. And, you know, but I did it. And I'm so grateful that I did it, because just being immersed with different people and different mindsets and operating at different levels of awareness is just like, I was being absorbed and I just got immersed in that. And it was just like living in a completely different world for those 3 days that I was like in that event. And I discovered MasterCode through that event. So prior to that, I never even knew about pranic healing. I didn't know about spirituality or energy like at all. So that it taught me a lot, because I began following him for about a year and a half. Solidly. And I was doing Twin Hearts meditation. That's how I started out with, well, let me go back to the event. When I found out about MasterCode, he did a demonstration on how to feeling energy, and I felt it through the Zoom. And, that's what sparked my curiosity. I said, what is this? Like, you know, I'm curious to know more. And I just remember doing Twin Hearts meditation for the first time and feeling a sense of calmness and a quieter mind than, you know, going into it. So that was really interesting. And then, yeah, that's why I followed him for about a year and a half on Facebook. I was tuning into his Anchor the Lights. And I've noticed these little shifts, like almost right away when I was doing these meditations. Like I'd be in traffic and somebody would, I don't know, maybe cut up in front of me. And normally I would like react to that. But instead I was observing and I was like, I'm not going to put myself in that state of mind and like argue back or do, you know, like not let that affect me. So I was more in a responsive state than a reactive state than I was usually. And I'm like, the only thing I'm doing differently is these meditations. So I'm going to keep doing them and seeing where this goes, like where this is leading me. Cause I was very like naive at that time. And I was just really trying to stick to whatever I felt would lead me to where I wanted to go. And that was just a more happier life. And you know, so that I can be better and do better. But and then a year and a half late, I wanted to get back into investing in my personal development, because so much has shifted just with tuning into Master Ko and his lectures and sharing the teachings of him and his teacher. And it's beautiful, because like listening to the stories, I learned so much and I gained so much, and I was applying those teachings into my life, and I was noticing these shifts. And it was just fantastic. And I got involved. I found another teacher, Bob Proctor. And this was the gentleman I really wanted to learn from. And so I got involved with his company so that I can be close with the people and really learn what they're teaching. Cause like they were talking about laws of the universe, the mind, the subconscious mind, and all foreign things. Me and I'm like, I had just like, I found this new love for personal development, because it's just something that was missing from my life for so long, and I'm glad I found it.
To understand, that's incredible.
Yeah. And then he mentioned, Bob Proctor was talking about how, you know, we're a massive energy, and then I'm okay, this guy has been studying this specific material about the self for like 60 plus years. So he's had like tons and tons of experience studying. So I wanted to learn more on that energy aspect. So then I enrolled like a week later, or no, it was a month later, after being involved with Bob Proctor, I went and I signed up for my first basic level one pranic healing class. So simultaneously, like learning the two, like it really helped me like understand the energy side of it and the mind side of it. And I really like put the two together, and it really like sped up a lot of, I guess, inner transformation, just by, I think I learn a little bit differently from others. I don't know how to explain that, but I have to really, when something's presented to me, I need to like read it over a couple times or go over it a couple more times, or really understand it and dissect it. Like, I just really want to know every ins and out of it. And I believe pranic healing and everything that is put together there, and what I'm studying outside of there it's just been phenomenal as far as what I've experienced change in my life my family, my relationships, my finances, my business is thriving. My like just so much has changed since then.
Yeah, that's amazing, Josue. And I just wanted to kind of, you know, take this moment to really acknowledge the transformation you mentioned, right? And I think so many people are going through or will go through what you've, you know, faced, right? Which is that feeling of purpose, right? And passion. And I remember you saying the more you suppressed it, the stronger it kind of rebounded back, right? And as we know, in energy, right? Energy healing, pranic healing, right? You never want to suppress something that needs to come out, right? Because it only, even in medicine, right? When you take a steroid and suppress inflammation, you can only do it for a certain amount of time before that inflammation comes back even stronger, right? Because the body is intelligent, the mind is intelligent. And it really sounded like your soul was calling out to you for something bigger. And you said it yourself, you cried out to the universe and like, please show me a way, show me a path, some guidance. And it really felt like you were just kind of at wit's end, right? You're just, you know, it was probably, I think for a lot of people, and even for me, just like, it feels like the hardest situation in the world when you can't, when you know you can do better, like you said. When you can do it and you know you have the ability to do it, you don't have like the path or avenue. And sometimes it's just taking on that risk. And for you, I mean, that's incredible. You have three kids, a wife, and that sounded like a huge risk. And also, like you said, you bought a house recently too. And to make this big business jump, right, to starting your own business. And now fast forward, you know, a few years later, you're thriving on all fronts. I think this really speaks to the fact of, you know, the title of this podcast, which is, you know, when you live your authentic life, things just get better, because it's who you are as a person, right? And like you said, when you combine the mind aspect with the energy aspect, right? As we know, our attention goes, energy flows. And when you can channel that attention more authentically to your passion and purpose, which is what it sounds like, that's amazing. With automobile services, I'm a big fan of cars. I know nothing about repairing them. So it's really cool because I think that your story resonates to so many other people out there. And even for me, that's how we got connected, right? Where I put out a story, basically I felt lost, right? And I was like, I'm like calling out to the universe, like, hey, show me my path, right? I'm tired of having this feeling rebound in me too. And yeah, so here we are. And I really wanted to kind of take this next half of the podcast, Josue, to kind of build on this. You know, I know you spoke about like how important the mind is, right? With having awareness and self-development. And, you know, I see all the books in the background for you. So, you know, it sounds like even though you take a little bit more time to go over things, I think it goes to show like you're really a student of the teachings. So how can people find that awareness, figure out their passion, their purpose, right? Because I feel like a lot of people like us might be in a more situation of gratitude because we know what we want to do. We know our purpose, right? Sometimes we just don't know how to like launch it. But how do people utilize consciousness to figure out what their passion is and also to go for it? Because I think that's the hardest part, having awareness and then taking the action to actually make it happen.
Yes. Yeah, I think a good start would be is identifying what you really want, like and like a goal that not just any kind of goal, but a goal that'll cause you to stretch, like a goal that you don't even know how to achieve, but it's something that you want. And that might kind of be difficult at first if you don't have a written goal or you don't know a goal, because I mean, I didn't have a goal either until, I mean, I met my mentors and they started talking about goals. And so it's something I had to learn too. I just wasn't aware of it. Like when they asked me, like, do you have a goal? No, I don't. I mean, I think I do, but it's taking what you really want inside and finding out what that is. And if one doesn't really know, I've come up with, or I found ways that you can identify what you really want. Some people say, I don't know what I want, but you can look at all the things you don't want or you don't like, and it's just the opposite of that is what you actually want. Maybe you want, you know, more freedom, more time to, you know, vacation, or maybe you want to start a company. But then there has to be like a deeper, like feeling with it too. You know, it's got to have purpose behind it and all that to really get you going. And I think that's what will draw in some of that awareness, because now you know what you want to go after, and your heart is like, you're activated. You want to start moving towards that. And I think if you just make a decision that, you know, you're going to go searching or, you know, you're going to read some books, do some research, start moving in the direction just a little bit, that what you need will start to come to you. You will attract it. As long as you stay on that thought frequency of, you know, that's what you want. But I think it's what kicks us off is when we start doubting ourselves that, you know, we can't do it or we're not good enough. And sometimes those things that are going on in the mind didn't even come from us. It just, you know, past programming could have been from someone else, but we think it's ours. And that's why studying ourselves is so important, I think, because these are all things I didn't even know about. I didn't know about, like, you know, how the subconscious mind can retain information, like habits that serve us and habits that don't serve us, you know, because that automatic mechanism in our mind that helps us get up in the morning and do all our routines, like automatically can serve us in those ways. But the ways that it doesn't serve us is like if we have a lack mindset or you know, like there's lack and limitation of, you know, like in the world, and
poverty consciousness.
Yeah, poverty consciousness. Uh-huh. We're going to be constantly thinking that, therefore we're going to be attracting more of that into our experience, and it's very important to actually fix our mind on what we want. Like similar to what you said, you know, where energy goes, or you know, where our focus goes, energy goes. And so essentially, yeah, that and it's just a process of reminding yourself that, but it's all a journey. And I think, yeah, once somebody identifies their want, like really spend some time, like maybe journaling and what do I want? Just maybe even write out all your wants out and then pick like the top ones out of that whole list, you know, I think that's what started it for me, you know, cause I knew what I wanted, but I didn't really have it at my forefront of my mind. And I'm transitioning from love for cars to my love for personal development. So like I'm in the middle right now of a shift where I want to turn that to be my hobby, my part-time that I can set up automatically and, you know, move from operator to owner and then focus on, you know, sharing, you know, the teachings of pranic healing and the mind, because that's what lights me up more now, because it's done so much for me that I know there's probably somebody out there, you know, searching just like I was, and that information, I can connect them to it, you know. And
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And I think what I hear you're saying about that is it's almost like our passion, that initial first passion or purpose, our dream might not be the end all be all, right? It may be just a stepping stone for us to find it and realize an even greater passion. And for you, you know, it was, you know, your mobile automobile at home services. And now you're filling an even bigger bucket, right, of yourself, being even more authentic and focusing on, you know, personal development, energy healing, you know, the mind and the subconscious. So I think that's really incredible, because I want to emphasize that, because a lot of people like me get stuck onto one thing and it's like, okay, this is my one dream and I must get it done, right? This is the end all be all. This is the only thing I see I'm doing in my life, you know? And, you know, you speak of Bob Proctor, and I think Master Ko says this too, you know, there's another law in the universe called the law of change, right? Everything is subject to change. And even though you think you want something, you write it down on your journal, that it might not be there on top, you know, a few years later. So that's incredible. And it sounds like you're making that transition now, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. You know, I think we spoke on the awareness piece, Josue, in terms of like, you know, being very clear about what you want, right? Making a list, because I think what you said was also very important, where sometimes for people that don't know what they want, right? Maybe just write down what you don't want, right? And again, I think for us, you know, we have an idea, a starting point of like, okay, this is our North Star. But some people, they don't even see where their North Star is. And it sounds like, write down things that you don't see yourself doing. And that kind of reminds me of a quote from spiritual teacher, right? Where the student asked like, oh, what did you learn when you got enlightened? Right. And he said, I gained nothing, but I lost anger. I lost worry. I lost sadness. I lost jealousy. I lost all those things. And then underneath all of that, underneath all of those layers, I found myself, right? Mm-hmm. And I found my love. I found my passion. I found my calling. So I feel like that's the other way into it, right? If you don't know exactly what you want, maybe, you know, write down the things that you don't want that makes you angry or jealous or sad. And, you know, that's the other way of looking at it. So I just, when you said that, that's the point that I got connected to. And kind of moving on that, you know, I wanted to really help people in this podcast to make practicable steps for their life once they've identified that. Because for you, so you made a huge shift. That is no easy feat to jump right into your own business after being in a, what sounds like a very cushy, but you know, you worked very hard, six-figure job, right? So what did you do in terms of actionable steps that made you make that leap? Because a lot of people can write all the things down in the world, can, you know, I want to manifest this, I want to materialize this, right? Universe, please, you know, with this affirmation, please bring me this. What actions did you take that really kind of drove it home for you? Because I think that's honestly the most important part.
Yeah. That drove me to leave there to venture on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I stepped into who I wanted to be while I was there. I wanted to work on my own, and the processes and how I was handling my business or my work. I called it my business because as an automotive technician in a service department, we're almost like contracted, but we're employed. So we get paid per the job, not paid for standing around and hourly. You know, we don't get paid that way. We get paid for doing the work. And so I had my area, I had two lifts when most people only had one. So I was doing double the work. I had cars like on a lift. I was checking one out, pulling it out, pulling another one. Like I was running a business out of my job, I guess you can say. And so I was already doing the work, but I just, you know, I was collecting only a small portion of it, of the earnings. You know, it wasn't actually my business, but I was the one writing up what the car needed, getting all the parts it needed, putting it on the car, fixing it, and delivering it back to the client. The only thing I wasn't doing was talking to the clients, getting the clients in, you know, and collecting money and that stuff. But I felt like I had enough, like I did enough that I can do this on my own. I'll learn the other things as I go. That was my mindset way of thinking though. But essentially I think if you're doing so good at your job that you think, and maybe you want to go do it on your own, you know, and I mean, I guess building yourself up in your job is a good, way to maybe step out. Or even before then, you know, I was listening to Jim Rohn, and he's like, you know, when you're not working those extra hours, you could be working on, you know, your next move, you know, like, or your, if you're going to create a business and you still have a job, you can, you know, use the time that you're not working on that job to create that and move into that. So I don't know if that really answered.
Yeah. I think that helps, because I think what I see you say is it's almost as if you saw the inklings of running your own business within working at your, you know, day job. And I think that's a blessing, right? It's almost like, oh, wait, it's right in front of me. I see the whole process. It's just, I don't see the customers. I'm not, you know, meeting them face to face, having this relationship. But, you know, you saw that you're only getting paid a quarter of what you would have gotten paid if you had your own business. I think that's almost one of the best ways to do it, right? It's just to see it in front of you. Like, okay, this transition is not big of a jump as I would have thought. So, and then I'm sure afterwards you kind of did all the business filings, created your own company, and then it seems like you got your own company vehicle and you got all the equipment, and then you were just out there and doing it, right?
Yep. And what I was primarily, because I was unsure of what I should do, I was seeking out other individuals who are already doing it and learning from them. And I just kept doing that. And they're all around us, you know. I mean, you can find them online. And I mean, I knew people that, you know, had businesses, and I would just watch what they do and take what serves me and then, you know, discard the rest and then just adapt, you know, add some of the things I like about what they do into mine. And that's also essentially what I've been doing my whole career, because I left this part out, but you guys should probably know this about me, is that I lost count after 17 different shops that I've worked for. And it's because I set a standard for I've always had this standard for myself from even before I entered the work field as a teenager, that like, if I wasn't happy or somebody didn't treat me right, I wouldn't stick around. I respect myself enough to not be talked down to. And if I was completely happy, I would go find another place to work. And the way I viewed it was like, I'm going to be happier in my next place. I'm going to earn more money and, you know, I'll be happier. That's the most important.
It's a win-win. Yeah.
And that's what I did my whole life. I gave every place about a year, tops. But if things weren't going well, I could just move on. Cause it's funny, cause I got a lot of kickback, when I would share that with my, my close acquaintances, and wouldn't be exactly what I was hoping to hear from them. I thought, you know, and that kind of, I think going back to authenticity, I was being very authentic when I was younger. And a lot of that got, you know, different points of views thrown my way. And it made me feel less of myself for expressing myself, because I was hoping to, like, get, you know, good job, or like, you know, I guess I was seeking, what's that word? Like, approval, or no, like, I don't know, just this acknowledgement that I'm doing something right. Because from an early age, I had instilled in me that I wasn't smart. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't pay attention. And this was first grade. And so that became part of my way of thinking, that something was mentally not all there with me. And so I think my whole life, I was just trying to prove to myself that that's not true. But it was there. It was still kind of there, because they made me, or school made me feel that way. And maybe, you know, some of the things I heard said to me, like, maybe if somebody said, hey, can you grab that? And then I wasn't clear on exactly what to grab. And then I took longer than it should have taken to grab whatever for that person. I'd get called, like, are you stupid? And that stuff at an early age can stick to a child, because I know it did with me. Up until I was 30, I still believed that some parts of me was stupid. And it was until, like, I got involved with pranic healing, and I actually had some pranic healers help me, that we pulled that out of me, that it was just a label and I didn't even see it. Like, I was unaware that there was this label, like, sticky note on my head saying I was stupid all my life, and all I had to do was peel it off. And that right there was like a huge shift in itself. You know, she shared with me, it was my, the healer that was working with me, said, we can shrink anything down to like a grain of rice. And it may be big in our mind, like a dinosaur, but we have that ability to do that. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And that, yeah, I just went down a different way there, to share some stuff, but
no, I think this is great, Jose, because this was the thing that I was going to actually sort of kind of close off with, is being that authentic self, right? I think comes a lot from childhood, our environment, right? Our family expectations. And I hear you. I think what you were talking about more was like that people pleasing mindset of like, oh yeah, I want approval from certain people, so let me do it this way so I can look better or think better about myself. You know, because I did this. But, you know, it sounded like, even though those comments were very hurtful, you know, in your childhood, people calling you or labeling you in different ways, what I really admire, Josue, is your tenacity, your diligence of like, okay, this is not me. I know this is not me. And I'm going to prove you all wrong by proving it to myself. And I think that's the most important part, because a lot of people struggle with childhood traumas, you know, or PTSD from all different types of situations, and that becomes their identity. Like, that trauma is part of them. And like you said, that trauma energetically might be just like a little rice grain, but when it goes into our mind, it blows up as big as a dinosaur, right? And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with, is that most of the time it's not as big of a deal as it really is. And it's easier to heal and let go than we think. But as we know, in pranic healing, you have to replace it with something, right? You can't just remove some space and expect something to magically fall in. And yeah. And I think that's what I appreciate about you, is your self-confidence, right? To move from 17 different shops and, hey, like, if you don't treat me well, I'm out of here, right? Because you have such a high value for your time. And it sounds like you do great work, right? Most people handle one lift, you're handling two, right? You're doubling the output. And I think it's really important for people, when it comes to the awareness of like being your authentic self, is to understand the value of what it means to be your authentic self, because there's only one of you out of 8 billion people. So what is your true value to this world, right? And when you think of it that way. And when I, again, hear your story, Josue, it's just so inspiring to me, because I am literally trying to do the things that you're doing, but I'm like super afraid of it, right? Just to move on from a situation. And I think a lot of people too, because we get so stuck, ingrained, and rooted in a certain way of thinking. really amazing podcast, Josue, and thank you so much. I've learned a lot from your experiences, and I can only see even bigger and greater things coming your way as you serve more people on this, you know, next path of yours. As a tradition with the podcast, I always like to ask every guest, you know, if a stranger walked up to you, you know, on the street and they were asking, hey, you know, I heard you from this podcast and I'm struggling. I need help finding myself. I need help in figuring out who is this genuine person underneath this bag of meat and flesh. What would you tell them in order to help them get moving and then find that authentic self that we were talking about for this episode?
What would I tell them? Yeah, well, if it was like a conversation, like one-to-one, face-to-face, I mean, I'd really just want to get to know more about them and see where they're coming from with all that. See what they got going on in their life, what their goals are, what they're looking to achieve out of life. And if they don't know, I mean, I can help kind of ask them certain questions that'll get them thinking. And I think we can, yeah, I don't think anyone's too far, can be too far lost. I think feeling lost is actually, to me, was a good thing, because that means there's something to be found, you know, and you probably heard that, but that's truly what I felt. You know, it's like just to surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up and encourage you and, you know, listen to you rather than just like, yeah, tell you what to do.
Right. Yeah, I think that's great. I like that answer, because a lot, I think what I expect usually from asking these questions, like, oh, you have to take this action or take this action. But I think what I'm hearing you say is it's really a journey of exploration. Of course, you can say, you know, take this action, you know, don't be afraid, aim this way and shoot for it. But sort of you have to understand the awareness part too, right? You have to understand where you're coming from, you know, how you got to this point, and then where you want to go. Because I think a lot of people, again, have expectations of where they want to go based on, again, those limiting belief systems, which might not be the end all be all. So, and as you say that, I kind of see what you would go through for a particular client if they were asking you, right, that same question too. And that is a process. And I don't think it can be answered as simply in, you know, a couple sentences. But yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Josue, for this amazing conversation. Again, I learned so much, and even for myself, you know, being on the spiritual path, I appreciate the experiences and almost like the testimonial to about just believing yourself and going out there and doing it and thriving on that. And I think for a lot of people is that fear of believing and trusting that, okay, I think this is me and I think this is what I want. I'm not sure if I want to do it. And, you know, just talking to you, just like, okay, Josue is the perfect example. Let's just listen to this podcast and it'll just kind of give you light in moving forward. So appreciate that. And I'll leave Josue's links down below if anyone wants to contact him or know more about his business. And yeah, that's all for today's podcast. Thank you, everyone. Atma Namaste. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you did, please consider supporting the podcast by being a subscriber. It helps me run the podcast and have great guests like Josue come on, and we can talk about amazing topics. All right, everyone, take care, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.